Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to another Deserted Island Disc. And here we are on another Wednesday night live in sunny Sheffield tonight. So this is a programme where we talk to people who were born in Ireland who now live in Sheffield. So we've had a few guests, and my guest tonight is a very special, lovely man. It's Kieran O'Shea. Welcome, Kieran. How are you doing?
Thanks very much, Ben. Firstly, great opportunity here. Well done on the programme, and all good. Thank you.
Thanks for coming on. Kieran is a big character who I've known for many years now, and it's been an ambition to get him on. So thanks, Kieran, for coming on. So you were born in Tipperary, 1969. What was life? What are your early memories of that life in Tipperary, Kieran?
It was an absolute great place to be brought up. It was a real kind of rural community in the middle of Ireland. Everyone knew everyone. All the neighbours cared about each other. Everyone knew each other's name. All the children played together. And it was absolutely a wonderful place to be brought up.
So what kind of town was it? What was that kind of population like?
3,000 people. It was a small rural community, and it's like kind of, we had our shops, we had our pharmacies, we had our clothes shops, we had everything. And yeah, a lovely, lovely place.
And you had a policeman?
We had, my father was a guard and my mum was a nurse. My mum was from Liverpool, my dad was in Kerry,
right.
Which makes it confusing really, but they met above in Omeath in Northern Ireland on the border. Dad was more like most police back then, Morse Garda. They were basically sent up there, and they kind of worked there. They got their bonuses and they basically kind of did their job. And Mum met Dad above in Omeath.
So that was obviously in the 60s at some point, that was?
Oh, yeah. But there were very early pictures in the 70s where there was a kind of, my grandfather was from Omeath. He had a property in Omeath, but he was a publican in Liverpool during World War II.
Right.
So he owned a couple of pubs, and he ran a couple of pubs in Liverpool. And when the war broke out, Mum got shipped over to Omeath, and they went into a convent to be educated. And their kind of life went from there. And there's a story one time that this lady was walking up along the path to visit the kind of convent, and my mum ran into the nuns and said, "Oh, look, there's a stranger coming up." And the nun turned around and said, "That's your mother."
Wow.
So, yeah, it was very, very different times.
Yeah, yeah. So her mum had been back in Liverpool then?
They ran their business in Liverpool. And I really enjoy kind of looking, kind of walking around Liverpool and seeing the buildings. And it's all, even during my university time, I saw that the pub that my grandfather owned it was still there.
Yeah, yeah. Because there's a connection to Liverpool, we'll probably talk a bit later on. Kind of part of that, was that part of the reason you chose Liverpool?
Totally. 100%, yeah. Ben. 100%. Yeah. That was the only reason kind of I chose Liverpool.
Fantastic, yeah. So growing up, you was you one of four, yeah? So you
got, yes, four boys.
One of the things that kind of strikes me as different, I mean, I grew up in Manchester, so very different. I mean, we had a very different attitude to police or the Garda, really. So what I've kind of known about Ireland since then is that the Garda was more kind of on your side more. It's not like in England, it's kind of, the police were kind of, you're not sure about them, really. But in Ireland, it's more like a community, part of the community, and help you out and stuff. Is that how
it was? They were very embedded into community. All the police knew everyone's name, and there was a, kind of a community where kind of like if you stole sweets in the shop, kind of they'd know straight away that kind of who done this. It was a community kind of policing. Now how that's changed and how the world has changed is something that's probably for another debate. But yeah, everyone knew everyone, and the Garda were very respected. The Garda, the policeman and the doctor were the three people who ran the community. And they all knew each other, and there was no such thing as mobile phones. They just called around and they talked to each other.
Yeah, well, it's nice to be that part of that community, yeah. But you've one thing I know about you is you've got a strong work ethic, Ciarán. And I think that seems to start from an early age. So you've told me you was like working. Well, is that your first job? How old were you in your first job, and what was it?
I was collecting bar glasses in Dundrum House, the Golden Vale in Dundrum, at the age of 13. And we were out kind of in this massive kind of venue in the middle of nowhere in rural Ireland. And people would come from all around, and all the bands, Bagatelle, Joe Dolan, Foster and Allen, the Wolf Tones, in Tuanua, all of these, Blondie, in Tuanua was, they had Leslie Dowdle, who was basically our equivalent to Blondie. And Not the Blondie.
Oh, well. But no, that must have been an amazing experience then.
It was.
So, yeah. We're going to pick a song from that area, aren't we? What song is your first song choice?
Joe Dolan, More and More.
Okay, let's have a listen to this. So you saw him live?
Yeah, I saw him live many a time, and I served him many a drink at right up until 6 o'clock in the morning.
Joe Dolan, One and More. That's the first song choice of Kieran O'Shea, who's with me tonight. He was telling me more stories while we listened to the record that are not repeatable. Well, but that's part of being in a pub, I suppose, isn't it? So let's move on. So you worked in a bar and, what happened during them years and what happened next in your life?
I did my Leaving Cert in 1987 and kind of at the time you had to have Irish go to university. I was quite rebellious, I would say, and I didn't want to do Irish. I got a no grade, so I wrote my name down, Kieran O'Shea, and they gave me 0.5%. And but like at the time, it was that kind of era that we were all finding ourselves at the time. And so I ended up doing my Leaving Cert and going to a regional technical college, which is now MIT, Munster Institute of Technology, which is a university. Ended up doing a kind of marine and plant engineering in there. So
that's where you started on that, I suppose, the road you're on now, which we'll talk about later. But so you kind of, that's you're leaving home, that's kind of university,
yeah.
There. So
kind
of, you went to live in Cork, which I suppose is not that far away from Tip, was it?
At that time, Ben, if I was to be quite frank with you, it was 1,000 miles away. It was the other side of the universe. All my friends were going to Limerick and in and out by the bus every day. So they went into college and back out every night. I went to Cork RTC. A lot of the marketing and things, courses were there. I wanted to do some form of engineering. I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I looked at marine and plant engineering and thought, this sounds good, let's go for that. There was no such thing as professional kind of career guidance. It was chaos, and look, that's where it went.
What made you kind of know you wanted to do engineering?
I think they call it ADHD nowadays. Maths, engineering, chemistry, sciences. I can't answer that. I did all my CAO center applications thing was all based around quantity surveying, building, engineering, and all that. But a lot of them had that you had to have a university degree. At 18 years of age, it was there was a lot of anarchy and kind of nothing that I regret. But yeah, I just chose the avenue. Let's go to Cork, and I've absolutely no regrets to this day.
Yeah, yeah. So what was Cork like then? So this is the what year were you in? The mid 80s, early 80s?
Yeah, no, 87 to 90.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was great because just got to university in MIT, Munster Institute of Technology. RTC it was then. But like, it was great because the students kind of, like, we had a great community. I kind of had family down there. My mum's family were very, very strong, and we had our aunt down there. So kind of, you'd always people around you who'd keep an eye out on you, you know.
Yeah, which could be good or bad, I suppose, when you're 18. And
no, never bad, never no, bad. No, always good. Always a touch on the shoulder, saying, "Wind your neck in, lad."
Yeah, yeah. So, well, you used to get the summers away to the far-flung places, didn't you?
What I did. Yeah.
Tell us about that.
So, we ended up going over on Slattery's bus to London. At the time, kind of. The only place you'd get work was on the building sites in London, so we went over and back to London. Can't say it was a pleasurable experience. But anyone who's come from kind of Munster in the 80s would know the Slattery's bus. Went over to London working the building sites. Crazy, crazy time. And then there was 1 year I got the J1 visa and I went to New York, and I really, really enjoyed it. Really, absolutely. I never wanted to come back, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But you had to.
Well, I had to. My dad had retired from the Garda Síochána, and he kind of came over, and he retired, kind of had a full career in his life and that, and he came over and just said, look, lad, you need to get back and finish your college.
Yeah.
And we made an agreement, and kind of he I think one night, really, really drunk, I agreed to everything, and I said, yeah, okay, I'll go back. And he goes, yeah, come on, go back. And I finished my course in Cork.
What But again, it's probably something you don't regret, is it?
I don't regret. No, no. I don't regret anything, really. Looking back at things, and I'm very fortunate that my dad kind of, at that time, there were two civil servants that had kind of a garda and a nurse who'd paying 63% tax. And I think that's why we have it very easy nowadays, that you listen to your father then, you know. Yeah. You never question him.
Yeah. All right, well, we're back with time for another song. So this is a song from that era of kind of uni days, or rock days?
It is, yeah. It's, we used to go to Sir Henry's a lot, which was in South Mall, just off South Mall. We had kind of your Irish bands, like your kind of Aslam, Horselips, yeah. Hot House Flowers and things like that. And I'll never forget Aslam, because there was one of the guys in Cork, RTC, his brother was in one of the guitarists and things. And it was great, yeah. It was really, really good. And kind of Christy Digman and things like that, who's kind of passed away in the last few years, God rest him.
Yeah, so this is a song called This Is by Aslan.
This is the teenage mother. This is the child she bears. This is the soul of a broken lover, searching for the smiles they share. These are the feet of a banished pilgrim, and in this book of banished love, you see his eyes, you see no surprise, waiting for the love that's true. Everybody hits you with this feeling, nobody seems to understand, yet you stop, you look, you're searching for the
choice of Kieran O'Shea, who's with me tonight on Deserted Island Dis. So we've got you to finishing your first bout at university in Cork. What happened after that?
I joined the Merchant Navy. I tried to get onto oil rigs and I couldn't. I was in London working on the building sites, and I got an interview in Bishop's Gate. with a company called Bibby Line, and I ended up joining the Merchant Navy as a Merchant Navy cadet.
Okay.
And subsequently worked with them.
It seems like, for someone who's kind of, that's not my world, that seems like a massive thing to do for, how old were you then? You're like 21?
I'd say I was 22.
Seems like a huge thing to do. Was it something you kind of chose to do or fell into? I fell into.
I had no idea what I wanted to do. I had absolutely no idea. It was organized chaos. It was, I'd completely no idea where I wanted to go in life. The only thing kind of at that time, I would regret this statement because I look back at it and I think it was what a wonderful place to be brought up, but I wanted to get out of Tip as quickly as possible.
Yeah, you know? I think that's pretty common, isn't it? But so what was you expecting for the Merchant Navy?
No idea. The only thing that I say I left the Merchant Navy with was a massive understanding of basic engineering, spanners, screws, screwdrivers, but a huge sense of discipline.
Yeah.
Because in there, your cabin has to be clean every day, you're inspected, and as a cadet, I would honestly say I went to the Merchant Navy as a boy, I came back a man.
Yeah, but what was your kind of specialism, so your degree in kind of engineering stuff, and you say it was marine-based stuff, was that kind of not connected to the Merchant Navy?
It was, but they don't teach you at that time in academia, don't teach you what a screwdriver looks like.
Yeah.
I'm very hands-on, as you know well, Ben. I have no hesitation about picking up kind of a spanner or a screwdriver or anything like that. But when you go into that environment, and it's a very enclosed environment, very enclosed, and you basically get the job done, or kind of in them days it was, well, I don't know what it's like now, but I kind of can only imagine it's been very disciplined, really.
And where did it take you then, the Merchant Navy?
Basically, I was in the Gulf during the liberation of Kuwait, when Saddam Hussein set off all the Kuwaiti oil rigs, oil wells on fire, and the whole—I'll never forget—the whole sky was black, and I thought, I need out of this. Yeah. And I applied to go back to Liverpool, and I got accepted back into Liverpool. Fairly kind of clueless of what I wanted to do again, but I picked Liverpool because my mum was from there.
Yeah.
And I ended up back in Liverpool, John Moores University.
Yeah, what was that studying?
Studying mechanical engineering.
Right.
And kind of, I really chose that, kind of, I'd take no time in lieu for the study I did in Ireland. And the one thing I'd like to get clear, kind of, and would like to articulate here is that we're very fortunate because I'd never any fees in Cork. Yeah. I'd never any fees in Liverpool. And then we were getting grants left, right and centre. And I had money in the bank, and I was quite quite fortunate.
Yeah, no, those were the days in that side. So, but did you go back to New York again at that point?
No.
Later
in life I went back. But I applied to join the American Navy. I got accepted, and I had no money. I couldn't get the flight. So, you know, it was one of them things. And I thought, I ended up in Liverpool, and in Byrom Street in Liverpool, really brilliant. Ended up a job in Flanagan's Apple in the Cavern Walk beside the Cavern, and I met my wife there, you know.
Yeah, I've been in Flanagan's a few times. It was a great place, wasn't it?
I was there, probably
the same time as you. Yeah. In the 90s.
Yeah, we had three floors of bars, really good people kind of there, and the bands they had were real kind of cultural bands, and Lancy, who ran it, and Bob Burns, who owned the five bars in Liverpool, and he was a good person, and kind of he'd always at the weekends down at the end of the bar, and he'd always make sure his staff were getting home at night with taxis, and I'd never a bad word to say about him.
Yeah, it was a great place. We're about to play another song, haven't we? Which one do you want to do?
Let's see. Which one do you want
to? I don't know. But we've just talked about Liverpool, haven't we? So should we do this one? I don't think it needs an introduction, this one, does it? So
no.
Let's do this one. She loves you, think you've lost your love. Well, Beatles, She Loves You. That's the song choice of Kieran O'Shea here with me now. So Kieran was telling us that he was studying Liverpool but working just down the road from the Cavern in Flanagan's Bar. It was called Flanagan's Apple.
Flanagan's Apple, yeah.
Great place. And you were saying that you met Sue there. So
I did, yeah.
That was an important woman in your life.
Sue and her best friend used to come in most nights, except for Tuesday when they were watching. I think it was Soldier Soldier.
Okay.
So they were studying for teaching, got to know them. And yeah, I'd honestly say that kind of I ended up dating my best friend at the time, and really, really kind of realised that kind of this person is a soulmate. Do you know?
Oh. That's lovely, isn't it? Yes. And so you and Ray stayed together. Obviously she's followed you around, I suppose, is it?
Would she has, yeah. Got offered, she was teaching in Liverpool and Huyton and places, all these getting these, and I got offered a job at Lloyd's Register of Shipping.
Right.
And probably the best job I've ever been, kind of worked within, what a structure, what a place, what a history. East India Shipping Company, all that, and I absolutely loved every minute of it. And Sue followed us down, and we got a house in Croydon.
Yeah.
And that's the first time I realised that more about kind of buying a house and investing in property, really. But so Sue was teaching, and I was working for Lloyd's, so I was part of their rapid response unit. I had a really good mentor there, and he said, you need to work with this group. So I ended up working with that group who flew out all over the world and did all these kind of measurements and things. And I was, as a young person, I was overexcited, and I thought, this is great.
So I don't know much about that. Like, obviously, it's Lloyd's. Is it all connected to the insurance and the banking?
They do certification, classification. Oh, okay. And like, they've all got the name. They're all on Fenchurch Street. So are they linked? I've no idea.
Yeah, okay.
I can't answer.
Well, this was specialist in kind of...
engineering, and what we do is we do engineering failures measurements, and this is the first introduction really to, as I say, like I went for my charter ship at the time, and this is a step up really for kind of where I come from within being a kind of a technician, well I wouldn't say an engineer within the Merchant Navy, and this is a step up to being chartered engineer within... Yeah.
So it sounds like they put a lot of trust in you kind of quite quickly then, to kind of send you around the world and stuff. So you obviously shown some aptitude or talent or something there that they'd seem to kind of give you that progress.
I kind of, like, it's one of them things, if you put your hand up and go, yeah, I can do that. Okay, you're an expert, go on, you go and do it. I'll never forget, I got sent for China, kind of, and I got sent to Korea, I got sent these places. And you're sent for 2-3 days and you come back 8 weeks later.
Right.
And that's how bad, like, that's what it was like. It was, there was no mobile phones, there was no internet, there was nothing. And you got sent away. you basically were by yourself. You made decisions and there was consequences to your decisions.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that's missing nowadays, is there's no consequences to your decisions.
So you can pass it on, pass the book
just, Yeah. I fully feel that. And kind of at 56, I'm kind of quite assertive with respects to that.
Yeah. So what happened then? So you was loving that job, weren't you? And it sounded great. So
yeah.
Why aren't you still there?
London.
Okay.
Kind of, Sue and I kind of, she'd a good job and all that, but like London's chaos and you need to make an awful lot of money in London to survive.
Yeah.
And I was on a good salary, she was on a good salary, but do you know, I just thought this job isn't for me and promotion was difficult to get and kind of, I just thought it didn't fit the mould and I applied for a job outside London.
Yeah.
And my boss said to me, absolutely no way this is ever going to happen.
With the same company? Like,
Lloyd's Register Shipping. And I thought, okay, like kind of, and it was a case that nobody left Lloyd's.
Yeah.
Nobody left Lloyd's. You appreciate how lucky you are and how fortunate you are. And you should be kind of thanking us. And I just said, well, very easy, fill in a CV and walk, you know.
Yeah. But I mean, because your move was a bit of a strange move, don't you? You told me it's a bit of a kind of a car dealership or something.
No, it was car design.
Car design, sorry. Yeah,
yeah, it was Hawthall Whiteling and in Basildon.
Okay.
So went there, and then after 2-3 weeks, I said, "Oh, the company's going bankrupt."
Right.
So
not your fault.
No. They were well in trouble before I joined them, and I applied for a job. Well, I didn't actually. A guy approached me, and a guy kind of from Sheffield, he said to me, look, would you join us and come up and talk to us? And I said, yeah, no problem at all.
Okay. Well, that's getting onto the Sheffield bit, which is really important to us, and we'll talk a lot more about that. I think I want to play one of your choices that kind of, it's the Wolf Tones one, Streets of New York. But I saw Wolf Tones in London. So it's kind of apart from that area. And they've been part of your life during that time.
Massive. They were part of life in Dundrum. They were part of our life in Croydon. They were part of our life in Sheffield and Manchester, Liverpool.
Yeah. Still going strong, aren't they, at the age of...
Some bios, aren't they?
Yeah. Okay, this is Streets of New York, the Wolf Tones.
I was 18 years old when I went down to Dublin with a fistful of money and a cartload of dreams. Take your time, said me father, stop rushing like hell, and remember all is not what it seems to be. For there's fellas would cut you for the coat on your back or the watch that you got from your mother. So take care, me young bucko, and mind yourself well, and will you give this wee note to me brother? At the time, Uncle Benji was a policeman in Brooklyn, and me father, the youngest, looked after the farm. When a phone call from America said, send the lad over, and the old fella said, sure it wouldn't do any harm. For I've spent my life working this dirty old ground, for a few pints of porter and the smell of a pound. And sure maybe there's something you learn or you'll see, and you can bring it back home, make it easy on me. So I landed at Kennedy, and a big yellow taxi carried me and me bags through the streets and the rain. Well, me poor heart was thumping around with excitement, and I hardly even heard what the driver was saying. We came in the Shore Parkway to the flatlands in Brooklyn, to my uncle's apartment on East 53rd. I was feeling so happy, I was humming a song, and I sang, you're as free as a bird. Well, to shorten the story, what I found out that day was that Benji got shot down in an uptown foray. while I was flying my way to New York, poor Benji was lying in a coal city morgue. Well, I phoned out the old fella, told him the news. I could tell he could hardly stand up in his shoes. And he wept as he told me, go ahead with the plan, and not to forget, be a proud Irish man. So I went up to Nellie's beside Fordham Road, and I started to learn about lifting the load. For the heaviest thing that I carried that year was the bittersweet thoughts of my hometown so dear. I went home that December, 'cause the old fella died. Had to borrow the money from a fill on the side, and all the bright flowers and brass couldn't hide the poor wasted face of me father. I sold up the old farmyard for what it was worth, and into my bag stuck a handful of earth. Then I boarded a train and I caught me a plane, and I found myself back in the US again. It's been 22 years since I've set foot in Dublin. Me kids know to use the correct knife and fork. But I'll never forget the green grass and the rivers as I keep law and order in the streets of New York. Na na na.
Streets of New York, the Wolftones. Ah, it's a great song that. We're singing along here to that one.
Brilliant. I'm not much of a singer, man.
I've noticed. Ah, oh, no, it's great. It's great. So we've kind of got to Sheffield, haven't we? Oh, yeah. Your first visit, I suppose. Did you know Sheffield before that?
No idea, no.
Yeah, so you...
No, I just... I was working for a company out in Woodbourne Road called Encode.
Right.
I was staying in West Barra because Sue stayed down. She hadn't finished her... She was a teacher.
So she'd finish the term or whatever.
We'd see how we get on because I was trying to apply for jobs in Ireland as well at the time.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget, I went for an interview with Haviva and the guy said, oh, have you kind of... Can you afford a... Sorry. Are you thinking of moving back? And I said, yeah, I have a house in London. And he said, oh, right, and kind of, what are you looking at? I said, well, I'm looking at moving back here into the insurance and all that. And he said, well, the property price in London, the property price here, he says, quite different. He says, you won't be able to afford much back here.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was chaos. It was like 2000, and it was 2000, and just the Celtic Tiger was on the full rocket projection upwards.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't think that still, though. Would you still think London was where it was at?
Yeah, but outside of your prime properties.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at... I'd actually think Dublin is more expensive.
Yeah, yeah.
If you look at... Forget about your Kensington, forget about Mayfair all days. I think if you look at Cabra versus Croydon, I think you'll find that Cabra is a lot more expensive than Croydon.
Yeah. You said an interesting thing to me about... how things had changed for the Irish, I suppose, immigrant workers.
Yes.
Do you want to say a bit more about that? So kind of what
no, like kind of I arrived in here and we were digging holes in the ground and we were working out in Canary Wharf. We came to Ireland and I came here after the Bishopsgate bombing and it was absolute and utter kind of the Irish versus everyone else.
Yeah.
And it was, you'll kind of do these... What would be referred to now as navvy jobs, and it was groundwork, it was all of that. And now you look at it, and some of the top companies, you've got Willie Walsh and IAG, International Aircraft Group, you've got the Irish at the top professional positions, and I'm quite proud of my position, like when I'm being a chartered engineer, kind of, and But coming, I'll never forget the roots I've come from, do you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's good progress, isn't it? And I suppose it shows how much Ireland changed and all that Celtic Tiger stuff.
Yes.
Had some of that effect, didn't it?
Well, look at the farm and tech industry in Ireland, and I might regret the statement, but they've managed through soft politics to stop Trump putting tariffs on pharma.
Right.
That's soft politics at its best. That's Micheál Martin, that's all of these top politicians going over, going. And the farm industry themselves, and kind of the integration with the farm industry into the Irish kind of socio-economic kind of situation. Do you know?
Yeah. Oh, it's great to talking to you, Ciarán. You see these aspects of you, but you're kind of multi-layered man who has lots of knowledge about lots of things, isn't it? From like,
is that good?
It is good. It is good. It's never boring, is it?
No.
Because you like your sport as well, don't you?
I'm a big Munster and Everton fan. Yes.
Oh well, yeah.
Man, you. Well, we might finish above you.
Well, let's go.
No, I'm a big, as they say, egg thrower lover. I'm a big Munster fan, but
yeah, that's some crack there. So we better talk about Sheffield. So you got this job working for this company. In Sheffield. So it was an engineering company, yeah?
It was. It was based on Woodburn Road. They were a software development company based on fatigue analysis, basically metal failures. And that's all they had a software algorithm that done fatigue and failure. And they tried to make... They didn't. They've actually achieved that. They created a very good engineering software package. And it was run by a gentleman, Ken Morton, who, very good person, really, really good person.
So he gave you the job, and then what happened next?
Basically, went in and they start the physical measurement. So basically what we do is now, where it led to is what you do is virtual validation. So everything is designed within the virtual world, and then you have physical measurement to validate that. So everyone's car is designed in the virtual world. What they do is when the prototype comes out, you have a physical measurement that will validate the virtual.
Okay. Well, I suppose what I meant was what happened with you, because didn't the guy retire? Or is that what happened for you to kind of be settled in Sheffield and get your own business?
No, they came to me one day and said, we're closing that down. Accountants and engineers never get on. And they basically said, look, we're getting rid of that area of the business and finish everyone. I went home and talked to Sue, who was in Parsons Cross. And she said, well, why don't you walk away? And fair dues to her support. And she's always been there for us. I kind of went in, got my books that night, got all my stuff and walked out the door. I spoke to them and said, could I have the equipment? And basically I set up a company called M-Prime that do physical measurement.
Yeah, and they're still going strong now, aren't they?
They are, yeah, 22 years on. We're in a good place.
Good. Well, it's time for another song, and then we'll talk more about kind of your life in Sheffield and how things are going these days. You've chosen Breathless by The Cause. Yeah, so we'll have a play of Breathless by The Cause.
Go on, go on, leave me breathless. Thank you.
we are with Deserted Island Discs. Every week we get someone who's born in Ireland and now lives in Sheffield come and talk to us about their life and pick some of the songs that mean so much to them. We're going to take a break for a couple of weeks, but we'll be back in 3 weeks' time with some new guests. But we're also looking for more guests, so if you know anyone that fits the bill, get in touch with the show. We're at Deserted Island, as in the country, islanddiscs@gmail.com. So, Ciarán, where are we up to? We're in Sheffield. So what's life been like in Sheffield? What are your early memories of Sheffield and what happened?
I know it's as I always say to people, like, and when I get over and back to Ireland, it's kind of Sheffield has been very good to my family and I. So kind of we have two kids now, Cian and Aoife. Cian was born in 9/1/10. Aoife was born in 9/10/11. Very easy to remember. Yeah, I did well there, didn't I?
Yeah.
And so kind of. But I remember before they were born, like, we're probably one of the best bands kind of I've seen in Sheffield was U2. And it's a very kind of, Sue was pregnant at the time and went out with a load of friends out there, and it was really, really good. But we came back into Sheffield and we had to walk back in from Don Valley.
Oh, yeah. I was at that gig.
Yeah. So we walked back in and we're dying for a pint at 11 o'clock and came up along into the Triple Lane, and I looked in through the window in the Dog and Partridge. I could see Frank there.
Yeah, yeah.
And always a very good person, God rest him. But I knocked in the window and he goes, no, not serving you. No, I'm not serving you. There's 12 of us. And I thought, oh, okay. I kept knocking. I thought, yeah, okay, he'll open up. But he opened up and, it was a good night. But I think Francis was a very unique character, a person that I really good memories, really good jokes with and things. And he has put up on Wikipedia on that day. So we all were getting around in, and kind of whatever way I turned around in the Dog and Partridge, I hit the glass and the glass fell over. And I just said, oh, I'm fed up, I'm getting a taxi home. So I got a taxi home, and that night Frank put on Wikipedia slang Deep Pockets. So if you look on Deep Pockets, basically when it comes to your round that you hit a glass, it falls over, breaks, and you walk out in a puff, and it becomes known as the Tipperary Fiddle. And I just saw it's still there to this day, and nobody's contested, nobody's citation.
So if we Google it, what do we have to Google to find it?
Deep Pockets slang.
Deep Pockets slang, and
you'll
come up with
you'll come up at Wikipedia, and you look down. Yeah, so I think Bill Gates is above me with Deep Pockets. But anyway, so.
Okay, you're in that kind of company, yeah. Oh, well, we better play a U2 song, don't you? So you've chosen All I Want Is You.
Yeah.
U2, so let's play that, and we're kind of nearing the end of our story, but we'll get some more in before we go.
You want diamonds and a ring of gold. You say you want your story to remain untold, but all the promises we made from the cradle to the grave.
one of Ciarán's lovely nights out in Sheffield. It sounded great, and he ended up in a Dog and Partridge, as it was, yeah. So, well, we'll move on just to kind of life now and how it is and what's going on, and what do you get up to these days?
Business runs your life when you're self-employed. I've kind of a business out in Nettercliffe and specialise within that. Where am I am in life? Wow, what a question. The kids are, Cian's 15, Aoife's 13, both Notre Dame, and very, very good family life. Where we are is kind of, the business is going fine. Where will I be in 5 years? I just kind of feel that I really don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah, well, no one really does. So, I know you talk about, because you like Ireland still, don't you?
We've a house in West Cork, and very fortunate. We've a house in West Cork, and it's my getaway place.
And
I think
the kids love it there, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah. And the kids absolutely idolise it. But every kid, like when they go on holidays, love where they go.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. Like Cian kind of is saying that he'd like to go to uni there and things, and it's going to be an interesting 5 years. I'm 56 now, and where will I be when I'm 61? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I know one thing: I buried three friends this year who were all in their 56 to 58, and I don't want to be the next one. So that's how I feel.
You've got to look after yourself.
You do, yeah. But the racquetball is going good.
You're playing racquetball, are you?
Yeah.
New sport, yeah.
Yeah.
So a lot of things like that you need to do, don't you?
Yeah. Not very good at paddle tennis, but
okay.
I play against a cheat.
So, but you're still in that Irish community as much as it is, because in Sheffield, there's not really one space for Irish people to meet. It's
no,
not
there
like
isn't.
An Irish centre, is it? So
no.
It seems like you've created your own little community. Around the pub triangles there?
I always say, like, kind of, and I know kind of my wife would actually argue with this, but I think the Grapes, where we actually have a pint nowadays, it's an Irish community. It's a community. It's, you meet good people. If this bad person comes in, he's usually pushed out very quickly. It's what Anne Flynn does up there is absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. She's, her sandwiches, her kind of, Anne is the first person that would actually kind of reach out to every single person. She looks at kindness in everyone, and she's a character of the community, and she's the best Irish ambassador that we've ever had.
Yeah, she's amazing, and it's a great place, isn't it? So we're running out of time. We've got the time for one more song. Do you want to, I'll leave this to you to talk about and introduce why you've chose this.
No, it's the N17 by the Saw Doctors. I think if I left tonight without my family here and we play that, I think I'd go home and my door would be locked. N17 Saw Doctors is so good to us, so historical, going down the N17 into Tuam, and we're all shouting in the car, singing it out loud, and it's I kind of, when you look at their whole history and the band that came through the 80s and the songs, and it's so provocative at that time to be in a band who are in 2025 and we're still at it, and it's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, okay. So everyone sing along to this one. Thanks, Ciarán. It's been a really
pleasure. Thank you, Ben. Thanks for the opportunity.
I'm sorry. There's no one to talk to in transit, so I sit there and daydream in vain. I'm behind all these muddled up problems.